Well, I mean, the thing is, coal looks cheap, but we don't calculate the true cost of coal. In 10 years' time, it won't be cheap. I mean, renewables are getting cheaper and cheaper every year. There's a lot of talk about coal becoming stranded assets, which means that it's a liability, it's a cost in future.
Hi, I'm Tess.
And I'm Darshana.
We're part of the podcast team at Klima Action Malaysia, and you're listening to Alama, a podcast dedicated to talking about the climate emergency in Malaysia. We're part of KAMI's ongoing efforts to raise awareness and create conversations surrounding climate change.
Klima Action Malaysia, better known as KAMI, is a grassroots climate movement led by Malaysian youth based on the principles of climate justice. KAMI facilitates diverse civil society groups in understanding climate impacts to mobilize a declaration of the climate emergency in Malaysia.
In today's episode, we're giving you the 101 on coal in Malaysia, from how it's used in this country to the devastating effects that it brings. Venture with us to Tanjung Piai, Johor, and listen firsthand to the experiences of the fishermen there who've had to deal with the power plant destroying the ecosystem there.
We also talked to Mangai Balasekaram, a freelance journalist covering climate and health issues. We'll get a deeper understanding on why there's little coverage on coal and how we can move forward as a nation.
So, let's get started. What exactly is coal? In simple terms, coal is a type of rock. What makes coal special is that it is combustible. This brownish-black rock is a fossil fuel, just like oil and gas. And just like oil and gas, coal is also a non-renewable source of energy. Its continuous usage in Malaysia further drives the climate crisis and leaves the country vulnerable to the impacts of the crisis. But how is this coal any different from, say, the charcoal that we use in a barbecue? Put simply, coal is a natural mineral occurring from plant decay over centuries, whereas charcoal is the man-made product made from wood. Next, perhaps most importantly, how do we use coal to generate electricity? Coal-fired plants produce electricity by burning coal in a boiler to produce steam. The steam produced under tremendous pressure flows into a turbine which spins a generator to create electricity.
Coal usage has risen exponentially in the past few decades. In 1998, coal only contributed to about 6.1% of electricity generation. Those days, we relied mostly on natural gas. As of 2018, coal contributed to 43.4%. of electricity generation in Malaysia. This means that almost half of our electricity comes from coal. This is such a drastic change from just two decades ago. In absolute numbers, 73,362 gigawatts per hour of coal was used in Malaysia in 2018. For perspective, 1 gigawatt hour can power about 300,000 homes. Essentially, a very large amount of coal is being used in Malaysia to produce electricity. If you're thinking that that sounds like too much electricity for us and that we don't actually need that much, you're probably right. In 2020, Malaysia's reserve margin was 48%. Reserve margin here means that we are producing more electricity than there is demand for it. So what happens to all of this excess electricity? As ridiculous as it sounds, the government has to pay for it. The government is bonded by agreements known as power purchase agreements with independent electricity producers. We spend about $1.2 billion a year on the reserve margin.
Considering how much coal is actually used in generating electricity in Malaysia, it's natural to think that we probably have an abundance of coal in our backyard. On the contrary, 98% of the coal that we use in electricity generation is imported from other countries. Since 1997, our imports of coal and coke, which is processed coal, has increased by 1,326%. Again, this is a huge increase in the amount that we are using. At the moment, over 66.5% of coal import comes from Indonesia, 19.1% from Australia, 12.8% from Russia and 1.6% from South Africa. TNB spent slightly short of a whopping RM 10 billion in 2020 importing all this coal. Civil societies in Malaysia and organizations like PSM have highlighted that such a high dependence on foreign coal is a risk to Malaysia's energy security.
Coal usage leaves behind trails of destruction every step of the way, from the moment that it is mined up until it's burned in power plants. We mentioned earlier that 66.5% of the coal that we import comes from Indonesia. This is specifically from South Kalimantan, where people have been bearing the impact of coal mining for decades. Earlier this year, South Kalimantan faced the biggest and longest flood in 50 years. It killed at least 21 people and 110,000 others had to flee their homes. This disaster has been linked with massive mining activities in the area. Things don't get much better once this coal leaves South Kalimantan. Bulk vessels that transport big coal shipments cause unnatural waves that destroy a lot of the marine ecosystem, both in Indonesia and Malaysia. This directly impacts local fishermen and erodes our coastlines.
Di awal tahun 2002, pertama sekali PTP dibuat. Apa kesannya kepada nelayan? Port of Tanjung Pelepas. Apabila Port Tanjung Pelepas dibuat, nelayan-nelayan tersingkir daripada satu kawasan penangkapan ikan yang pada saya kawasan yang antara kawasan yang produktif, tersingkir daripada kawasan itu. Mereka terpaksa keluar kerana kerja-kerja penambakan laut, pengurikan pasir, penambakan laut, hutan paya bakau ditabrak. Begitu luas sekali untuk memberi laluan kepada PTP. Apabila PTP siap, maka Tanjung Bend Power Plant pula dibina. Begitu juga sekali lagi, nelayan terpaksa terpinggir begitu teruk. Sungai Pulai ditabrak sekali lagi. Habis hutan paya bakau dekat sana.
When the coal finally gets to Malaysia, it is burnt in our power plants. In 2019, Malaysia released 81.2 million tons of carbon through coal burning alone. Malaysia has the highest CO2 emission per capita in Southeast Asia. Even Indonesia, which has a much larger population than Malaysia, is doing relatively better in this area. Most of these plants are near ports and again affect the sea and the fishermen. Since seawater is used to cool down the generators in coal power plants, thermal pollution changes the water temperature, degrades water quality, and kills most aquatic life.
Pembangunan kerana reclamation, kerana pencemaran, kerana adakah nelayan yang membuat benda-benda ni? Mereka semua adalah developer-developer yang gila. Mereka tidak memikirkan tentang food security. Mereka ada duit, mereka ingat mereka boleh beli segala-galanya. Mereka tak memikirkan. Hari ini dunia tak lagi bercakap tentang food security, tapi kita bercakap tentang food sovereignty. Tentang, bukan lagi tentang protect people from hunger, daripada kelaparan, tapi kita bercakap tentang makanan-makanan yang berzat, yang berkhasiat, yang bersesuai mengikut suhu dan iklim sebuah negara. Sumber sebenarnya sumber kita dah kurang. Dulu you bodoh tak laku. Sekarang you bodoh laku. Apa ikan semua laku. Sebab apa? Barang dah tak ada. Kita import ikan daripada Bangladesh. Kita import ikan daripada luar-luar negara. Kita import semua. Semua barang dah tak formalin. Mata segar. Isi dalam dah rosak. Kandungan mercury yang tinggi pada ikan punca daripada api. Kat situ ada power plant yang menggunakan arang batu sebagai bahan bakar. Maka kajian mengatakan ikan-ikan kat Sungai Pulai dah tak selamat dimakan kerana kandungan mercury dalam pot ini. Apa nak jadi dengan itu?
When we look at how massive the impact of using coal is, it's a surprise that we don't see it covered more often in the media. We talked to Manggai Belasegram on why that is.
As a journalist, what are the challenges you constantly face when you're doing coverage about coal?
Well, it's actually more like energy, but the problem is it's difficult to get people to speak on what you really want them to speak on. So to be officially quoted.
And this is because they have a vested interest?
You know, for the people who can't speak, say like the owners of the IPPs, their interest isn't, you know, the same as the public's or the environment. So they have a business to run. So it's difficult to get independent people.
Yeah, so I think leading from that, do you think that, I know from what we've seen at least, most coverage is on some more of a corporate focused view as opposed to environmental or like human rights effects of the coal usage. So what do you think is actually lacking about the coal coverage in Malaysia? And do you think it's feasible or it's easy to sort of remedy the lacking or the lapses in the coal coverage at the moment?
I mean, I don't think people are really making a difference between coal and other sources of energy. I don't even think that's on the radar. And to be honest, you know, they will come out with arguments that, oh, you know, but our new plants are really environmentally friendly and whatever. But, you know, coal is coal. It's still the most polluting. I mean, you know, you take away coal and you can reach the 1.5 limit, you know. If we did it tomorrow, we could do it. So coal does make a huge difference. And we do, you know, use a lot of coal. I think, I don't have the latest figure, but it's something like 44% or something like that. So almost half of our energy is from coal.
Understanding that so much of our energy comes from coal, that coal has such devastating effects on us, and that this country is relying so much on it, do you think Malaysians are ready to understand that it's bad to use coal and that we should move away from it?
I think we have a long way to go with education, because people don't even care about, you know, saving. I mean, they care about saving money, but right. They don't really care about saving electricity for the environment.
And if we cloaked the coal issue as something that perhaps could save us money instead of save the environment, do you think the acceptance would be better?
Well, I mean, the thing is, coal looks cheap, but we don't calculate the true cost of coal. In 10 years' time, it won't be cheap. I mean, renewables are getting cheaper and cheaper every year. There's a lot of talk about coal becoming stranded assets, which means that it's a liability, it's a cost in future.
So I think leading from that is Malaysia's, because in Southeast Asia, for example, there was Indonesia's recent moratorium on new coal plants, and elsewhere, CIMB and Maybank saying that they'll stop coal financing and move towards sustainable finance. So I was wondering if you think that you foresee this to become an impetus to our government to create change or move towards sustainable methods in Malaysia?
Nobody really wants to build a coal plant again here, but I would like to think that, but I probably not. They do recognize that, you know, there are changes going on. I mean, Indonesia has a big coal industry, so it's a bit different. China has a lot of plans for coal plants, but I think those are just requests, you know, from state governments. Whether they go through is another thing, because China is also the leading producer of renewables. So China's just playing a very safe game. What China does matters for the whole world, matters for the climate. I think we really need to hear the stronger arguments about how coal isn't that good for us, which we're not really hearing here. It's actually not good economically to invest in coal now. Nobody's doing it in Europe. You won't get any insurance company to do it in Europe.
So then in your articles, you say that, you know, the first step to stop using coal or to move away from it is to end PPAs and not have the IPPs agreement. So for our audience that's completely new, could you perhaps explain what that means?
So like during Mahathir's time, you know, we had these big blackouts, and then they said, oh no, we can't have Tenaga doing everything. We're going to have these independent power producers. So they roped their friends to do these contracts. And they were ridiculously in favor of the IPPs, the independent power producers, so much so that the, you know, people in Tanaga just, they refused to sign the contracts at first because it was so unfair, and it's unfair to the public. And so everybody who is an IPP has become a billionaire. I mean, it's just easy money. We pay rent, if you like, to them every month. I mean, the government has to pay some to them every month. It's ridiculous. That should be stopped completely. And we also pay, you know, way too much for our power because we are paying these people to get rich, basically. But we are in, these are legal contracts, so you can't just end them. You know, you have to find a way out of them. You know, it would cost us a lot of money, whatever we do, but the better solution might be to renegotiate, pay them off in the case of some contracts, and then start again.
Understanding that the country's economic position isn't exactly the best, do you think that we even have the feasibility to move away from these agreements in the next couple of years?
People are buying old contracts as well overseas. Right. Because it just doesn't make sense to, in some cases, it doesn't make sense to continue. So sometimes it does work out. I mean, the thing is, when you have a new plant, and there are some of these plants which are new, like Jimah in Port Dickson is a brand new coal plant. I mean, why they want to build a brand new coal plant is another thing. But like I said, coal is cheap, so they think it's cheap, right? Then it's very difficult to argue that you should stop this plant and we should do something else. But there is still, you know, there's a body called My Power, and they are looking at energy reform, and they suggested trying to close some of the coal plants earlier. Right. So rather than wait for them to finish, we just shut them down earlier.
Interestingly, you also talked about how we create more electricity than we need.
Yeah.
I think this is called the reserve margin. Again, the reason that we do this is for the profitability of the people who own these PPAs. Yes.
You know, everybody wants to build a coal plant. There are still people right now who are pushing to have a new coal plant. Not coal plant, sorry, power plant. So when you make, you know, like if you get a certain percentage from building a coal plant, that's already a lot of money because you're talking about billions of dollars. You had some very, very powerful people up there trying to, you know, push for coal plants. And luckily, it hasn't happened yet under this government. It happened in the last government with PH. And even though they talked about legal, about open tender, I mean, you was a minister who listened, but the powers above her decided, you know, to start new coal plants. They had two, Tadmax and THP. They were not coal plants, but they were new energy plants. So anyway, basically, we have too many power plants. Everybody wants to build a power plant because you get money from it.
Right.
And we have too many. And this results in, like, it's not they're running all the time. So it's the capacity to produce. But we still have to pay the IPPs, whether we take them energy or not, right? So right. We're still paying money. And we also, so it works out to about currently, I can't remember the figure. I think I wrote it down somewhere. I think it's 48%, was it? Something like that.
Yes,
for this
48%.
Year. So that's how much excess electricity we produce. Right. And if you ask any energy expert around the world, they'll probably be very shocked. And that just reflects the waste in Malaysia. I mean, it's ridiculous that we can have that much reserve margin. I know some Eastern European countries, they have like 10%, because I actually am in a journalist group, climate journalist, and I just asked people, so how much is the reserve margin in your country? And it was like 12%, 10%, 15%, but not 48%.
That's just too much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So you can imagine the level of waste. There's no accountability. There's no... And there are people in the energy industry who understand this, but they are not powerful enough. You know, it's the same people in the health ministry who might recognize what's going on with COVID, but the political decisions will be different from what their views are.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, I guess, moving into whether renewable energy can actually replace coal in the long run, I think this sort of limbo with the
That's really complicated. I've done a lot of work on that. And so coal was always this baseload energy. You know, they always talk about the baseload. And so you have a coal power plant, you don't shut it down. It just runs all the time. And it runs, it's very inefficient as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it inefficient, you have to run it all the time. That's how coal works. And the modern kind of the future kind of energy system would be much more on demand. So if you have like a community that is suddenly using more power, you might be able to produce that power when they need it, not have extra power going on all the time, which is very wasteful, you know, because I've talked to energy experts in Europe and it's really complicated to understand. But basically, you know, this kind of system with the big grid and big power plants, that's very old fashioned. The big change that we need to make is in batteries, because I mean, you don't have solar power at night. You don't have wind power all the time. Yeah. So we cannot rely on renewables completely. But if we had good batteries, then we can store this energy and we can use it when we want. So the revolution will happen with batteries. And that's already happening to some extent. It just hasn't happened to the level that, you know, the energy industry feels comfortable with. We had days in the last year where in Germany and UK, the baseload was running on renewables, which is amazing. So it has been shown to be done, but most places in the world won't do it yet.
Yeah, I think as well, there was meant to be the largest solar power plant in Southeast Asia in Pengerang, Johor.
Yeah.
So, but that's been in limbo. So I was wondering, you know, do you actually see the impetus like for renewables in Malaysia specifically at the moment?
Well, not really. I mean, they've got a lot of competition with China, but there are some, you know, firms, which, I mean, it's just ridiculous. They produce for overseas, but not for us. So everything about Malaysia is just doesn't make sense, you know? So,
Right.
I mean, the thing is, we're already at 48% reserve margin. So we really don't want any more plants right now. But what we want to try and do is close down some of those closed coal plants earlier. And then we can try to shift to renewables.
Yeah, do you see that in the next
but
10
any
years?
Any talk of renewables now is just talk. I mean, we're at 0.4%. It's not real. You know, and they talk about biomass, and that I don't think that's renewable, but they put it as renewable. So that's included in that figure, 0.4. We have a lot of sun and we have a lot of wind in this country. We also could use hydro, but although hydro has a lot of issues, but at least, you know, we could work on things that were more environmentally friendly quite easily. But we are just stuck in this situation because of these PPAs that we cannot move forward.
Right. Circling back to, you know, the challenges that you face as a journalist and in accessing data, etc.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get people to come onto the record. But is it also difficult to, say, access data for, you know, whatever figures?
No, I mean, you can go onto the figures are there. You can see what figures are there. It's
right.
Public. So that's not hidden. No. I don't know about all the money that's paid to build a plant, that's different. But I mean, in terms of who's producing what and things like that, no, it's there.
It's there, and yet the education and the impetus to make change is just not there.
Yeah, I mean, I published an article about the 48% because this was a study done by, they have huge names the name in Malay, the acronym is JPPPET. But they have huge names and it's like the tariff, this, even in English, I can't remember it. But anyway, there are different bodies that are doing research, but this is on deaf ears because the current government is not interested. There was some attempt at energy reform under PH. So this was being looked into, they were doing studies, but now that door is closed completely.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's really needed more than anything is political commitment. You know, you need a government which says, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to work this out. And yes, it's difficult, but we're going to find a way.
And that doesn't exist here.
No.
So far.
So yeah, that's why it has to start with the politics first, you know. Yeah. I mean, you had Biden, a change of government in the US, and now Biden is like talking electric cars with all these car producers, which we were not interested in. All of them are on board because they realize the future, you know.
Yeah.
The future is not in fossil fuels.
Yeah.
But in terms of politics, then it seems very, grim that the only change is possible when people on top decide that it's time to change.
Yeah, it is. But that's why it has to come from people at the end of the day. I mean, real change happens from people anyway. It's because people push for things and demand things that there's a political impetus to change. Otherwise, like if the people don't care, why should the politicians care? It's not going to be a election issue.
Yeah. Right. And I think this sources back to our discussion about education, how the education on coal usage is lacking at the moment, and there's no real interest in it. So given your background in journalism in this field, I was wondering if you had any advice for incoming journalists, attempting to discuss very difficult climate questions, particularly and challenging the people at the top the extent of coal usage in Malaysia.
Yeah, I mean, it's complex, and you have to keep asking questions. But I mean, there is information out there already. And, if you do research in past articles, which journalists do all the time when they write, there is stuff there that you can pick up from. The reserve margin has been talked about, but it's often been talked about on a business angle, not from an environmental.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say that. So I have a contact in the industry who he's very disturbed by, what he's seen. So I get a lot of information. So, but the thing is, it's whether they can do anything with the information. So they have presented. A lot of studies have been presented to people in the government, but they don't understand. That's also the other issue. So you have all these energy experts who try to explain the issues, and then nothing happens, partly because they don't really take the time or trouble to understand.
Right.
So it's also a lack of understanding as well. It's not also that... I mean, of course, there's no political drive, but it's a lack of understanding as well.
Does it get tiring to be covering these issues knowing that not many people are going to care?
Well, no, I just do what I have to do. I mean, I started writing on drug users and HIV, and I campaigned for that for years. And then finally, the government realized and they introduced methadone, and we don't have the HIV or drug problem. I mean, drug users are not getting infected anymore like they were, before they were just like dying like, flies. It's very simple. Just give them treatment.
Yeah.
That is actually very inspiring that you keep.
Yeah, it is. It just happened really quickly. And you even got the police agreeing that, maybe we should have needle exchange. And all of this, I mean, Malaysia is now considered ahead of its game.
Right.
Other Southeast Asian countries, they look at what's happening here. They look at how we brought down our HIV rates, and we're considered a model. So it can happen quite quickly. You just can't give up.
And you have to keep doing what you do.
Yeah.
So that's the one-on-one on coal in Malaysia. We brought you the voices of the fishermen directly affected by excessive coal usage in Johor and journalist Manggai Balasekram.
If you take one thing away from this episode, let it be this. Our country has an over-reliance on coal and it is not sustainable. Malaysia needs to shift its focus to renewable energy or we will pay the price of its consequences.